On the Record on News Talk,
brought to you by PwC, a community of solvers coming together in unexpected ways. It all adds up to the new equation.
Now, yesterday marked Labour Party's first annual conference held in person in a couple of years, and the first time that it was addressed by Alan Kelly, who only took over as leader after the last conference, which was in the run-up to the last general election. Alan Kelly is with us on the line now. Alan, your speech yesterday had the unfortunate habit of clashing with the finale of the Ireland All Blacks rugby match. It must make you feel a little bit irrelevant.
No, but I'm a huge rugby fan, massive Munster supporter. I played rugby for years. We had our conference booked well in advance of knowing that the All Blacks were playing Ireland, unfortunately, and you never know the actual kickoff time. So it was unfortunate, but at least I got to tell the crowd at the end of my speech. First thing I did actually afterwards was to tell the crowd that Ireland won. So, you know, in preparation for my speech, it was great to be able to watch some of the match anyway. So it certainly took my mind off it. So a fantastic result. Absolutely amazing. Very proud of them.
On the question of relevance, though, there's two opinion polls today in the Sunday newspapers. The Mail on Sunday has you at 4% in their latest poll. The Sunday Times poll has you down at 3%, which is among the lowest poll ratings Labour has ever had. How are you going to go about making the party relevant when clearly it's now a very contested field and a lot of voters are looking elsewhere?
Yeah, and I'm not one of these politicians who says polls are irrelevant. They are relevant, and you do get concerned about them. But I suppose, you know, those polls were taken in light of Sinn Féin's conference. And also, I think that, you know, we've been bouncing around within a radius there for some time now. I do note, though, that, you know, it's just about 2 years ago since there was four by-elections, and we actually outpolled and aggregate Sinn Féin in those by-elections. So I expect this government is going to last another 2.5 years anyway, because I think they have to hang together. And, you know, 2.5, 3 years is an eternity in politics. And it's my job to ensure our party comes up in those polls, but also to ensure we're ready to fight for electoral success. And there is a bit of a difference there, I think, for us from other parties, in the sense that, you know, we have an organisation around the country, as we showed again yesterday, and we can do electoral success, as we showed in the recent Dublin-based South by-election, so, when everyone said we would win.
Your point of difference is that you have a national organisation, when Sinn Féin also has a national organisation on both sides of the border, Democrats do, and they're as popular, if not more popular than you.
What I really mean is that from an organisational point of view, we have a capacity to win seats beyond what necessarily we're polling, and we show that in the by-election. But it is obviously my job to get our party up to way better levels in the polls, and we have a number of years, I would say, to do that. But you never know. But my organization that I've worked with in my life, all my life, the Labour Party, has always fought back, and we will be fighting back again. And we had a massive conference yesterday. It was a hybrid conference. We covered so much ground. We have a great policy platform with some fantastic new people, some young people coming into the party. So I think the future is very, very bright. We released our new identity, our new platform, for the future, and I believe we will be going from strength to strength.
Just for the record, by the way, you said that those polls were taken in the course of Sinn Féin's conference season. The Irish Mail on Sunday poll was taken yesterday alone, which is the day of your conference, so it was just a little bit after that, just for the record. But on the question of Sinn Féin, because it's pretty evident that Sinn Féin have now become the go-to left choice for voters who want to go that way in the spectrum, it was difficult to know yesterday whether your speech was trying to win back voters who have gone to Sinn Féin or looking for their second preferences.
I know, I'm very clear. I don't want to be talking about other parties, but I'm very clear that my job is to make sure we get electoral success into the future and that we grow. But, you know, if there is an election and if there are options as regards going into government, we will look at them. But we'll do so on the basis of policy primarily. And, you know, any party that calls themselves left-wing and doesn't believe in proper taxation, doesn't believe in property tax, doesn't believe in environmental taxes, well, obviously, they wouldn't be a party that we can do business with. But we also need to look at how parties operate and will operate with us. You know, you can't have a situation where, you know, parties operate in a certain way Before elections, and then after elections come and look for you to go into coalition, that wouldn't be acceptable to us. And some of the behaviour of some individuals who are involved in Sinn Féin or supporters of Sinn Féin, or indeed some other parties, like, for me, that's totally unacceptable behaviour.
Yeah, because the other criterion you said yesterday, so it was the parties that you could reconcile the platform with, the people who you could possibly negotiate an agreeable programme for government, but then you also talked about the moral character of those people, which seems like you were simultaneously saying that Sinn Féin's voters should come back to you, but that Sinn Féin should not come to you.
Well, what I was saying very clearly is the Labour Party's position. We have very defined policies when it comes to healthcare, in relation to single-tier health service. We have very defined policies when it comes to housing. We have very defined policies when it comes to education and a whole range of other issues, climate as well. And after an election, should other parties wish to look at us for coalition options, well, then they will have to meet our expectations as regards our policy platform. And if they don't do that, then there's no point in talking to us. We're not afraid of government, unlike some others on the left. We have served and we will serve again. But also on top of that, you have to know that you're going to be able to work with people. And, you know, I remember after the last general election getting phone calls from Piers Doherty and Mary Lou McDonald looking at proposals for another government. And, you know, it was kind of incredible considering the behaviour of some of their supporters and members right up until those phone calls took place.
But it might have been an opportunity to get back into a government, and the first government in the history of the state that wouldn't be led by a centrist or centre-right party. And it would have been something that perhaps your party's founder, James Connolly, long ago would have absolutely loved to see Labour doing. And now you're describing yourself as a social democrat before a Republican.
Well, I am a social democrat, and that is my primary ideology. And I think that's important to say, because people need to know where you stand. But, you know, from an electoral point of view, and I think we're a long way off, you know, you have to have a certain standard. You have to have a policy platform that people are going to meet. And, you know, if they're not willing to do that, any of the political parties in government or in opposition at the moment that would wish to form a coalition with us, well, then obviously we won't be doing business.
No, but it sounds like you're saying that whatever their platform is, that Sinn Féin's moral character means you won't deal with them anyway.
Well, I'm not saying anything about that, actually. What I'm saying is, definingly, is that the Labour Party, from our perspective, we will maximise our electoral success, and we will look at anybody who comes to us if they will meet our policy platform. And we will also ensure that we can work with those people. And if that happens, we will look at going into government. We're not actually ruling anybody in or anybody out. And fairness, I don't think we're in a position to do so. And I wouldn't be, putting that forward, because it simply wouldn't be true.
You said yesterday that you don't run for party or for power for the sake of it. A lot of people watching that might have been reminded of a famous quote you gave in an interview back in 2015 when you said that power was a drug and it suited you. Do you think that you have changed in those 6 years?
Yeah, just to reference that famous article, there was a lot of dot, dot, dots in the middle of that quote. It wasn't a direct quote. But have I changed? I suppose when you become party leader, something I'm very proud of, you do have to take on additional responsibility and look at things, I suppose, in a broader sense. So obviously you evolve and change. You do that all the time in politics. You're always learning. Gavin, I'm not afraid to say I've made mistakes in the past. I'm not afraid to say the Labour Party has made mistakes in the past. So you're always evolving. You've got to take on broader views. You've got to take on views of people across different areas of the party. But I have to say this, within the length of time, and I have been, nearly a decade and a half in the parliamentary party, I've never had a more collegiate set of colleagues working with me. We have a small team, but we're, I think, punching way above our weight in and outside the Dáil and Shannadairn. And that really enthuses me.
The reason why I ask about whether you have changed is because some people, if they were lining up Labour as prospective coalition partners, might look at your own personal performance in government and wonder whether you would be a worthwhile partner, because they might look back at the housing issue that we are facing it, and you were the minister responsible for that brief for a little over 18 months. You introduced some new changes as to apartment dwellings, which means that some people are now living in premises that were smaller than they ever were previously, and they might wonder whether you in fact are appropriate for government.
Well, I can't answer that question, Gavin. That's a matter for others. We'll find out after an election. I was a short period in that department. I also might point out to you that I was a minister who brought in a rent freeze that this government says they won't do, which is badly needed, and some are saying is unconstitutional. And I can tell you up straight, as the minister who got the advice at the time, it is not unconstitutional. It is proportionate and can be done and should be done. And many of the people who are listening to your show are suffering from absolutely immoral rent rates because this government won't act.
Challenged in the courts either, which of course is the other thing that people say.
That's true.
You also said that a true left-wing party wouldn't be one that would oppose a property tax. Would a true left-wing party support charging people for the water that comes out of their taps?
I think where we're going on that, Gavin, is in years to come, I think there's probably going to have to be a return to what was there pre-77 in relation to rates that Jack Lynch famously got rid of, which basically, for a period in time wrecked this country. So I think people are open to an all-in charge, which covers water, waste, refuge, a number of other local authority charges, etc. I think people will be, I think that's the direction we're probably going to have to go in the years to come.
But how do you square that then with your ambition yesterday that every family should be able to afford an annual holiday or the modest treat of having a pizza at a weekend, that if you're going to decide that they also need to be faced with more council charges to pay for stuff they currently get for free?
Well, to be honest with you, you don't get it for free, Gavin. See, that's a myth. You pay for it in your income tax, and people who are working are paying proportionately more. And this is the whole point. If you're a left-wing party and you believe in public services, you can't have high public services and no taxation. It's simply impossible. I said it yesterday. It's a complete con. It's lies. I mean, to be going around saying that, you're just trying to cod the people, saying that utopia is available. It's not. You have to have a situation where you have proper taxation and fair taxation. And that's what we always support. And we'd be honest with the people. And that's what, really riles me and my colleagues in the parliamentary party and our councillors around the country, because we're very open and honest about it. If you want the public services, the schools, the hospitals, if you want the services from your local authority, you have to have proper taxation to pay for it. Simple as that.
But if you need to have proper taxation and proper revenue to pay for it, how do you do that without then levying those charges on those who can least afford to pay it, which is the category that Labour would always have considered itself to be standing up for?
Well, there's ways and means in which you can do that through waivers. Obviously, we proposed, for example, a carbon tax credit in our alternative budget as regards to carbon tax. There's ways and means in which you can look after the more vulnerable in society. That's basically a policy that can be done. But it doesn't get away from the fact that, we can't be supporting a situation where people just think that, not everything, all of these issues, aren't going to be charged for. You end up paying for more through general taxation. And we also have to have a situation whereby, from an environmental point of view, we have to have taxation that changes people's behaviour. People's behaviour as regards how they travel, what they do with their waste, etc. And, we have to do that over a period of time. So from an environmental point of view, it's necessary as well.
Final question before I let you go. You currently have 7 members of Dáil Éireann, and you said that the next election is probably going to be 3.5 years away. I think, officially speaking, it doesn't have to be until March 2025. So there's a lot of time to prepare for it. But what would you set as a target for the number of TDs that you should have in the next Dáil?
I'm loath to do that, but I do believe that we have some fantastic people. I'd like to see all our senators getting elected to Dáil Éireann. We have some brilliant new candidates coming through.
So at least 11.
My ambition obviously is to get the party back up into double digits as regards the percentage that we should get in an election. That would be my ambition. But we don't know what's going to be first. We don't know if it's going to be local elections or general election. My next target, after winning the last electoral contest that was available in Ireland, my next target is the Limerick mayoral election, where we'll be putting forward a candidate there.
Do you know who that candidate's going to be at this point?
We've a lot of work done on it, and we'll be making progress and announcing that.
You want to win the election, but you can't tell us who your candidate is.
Well, in fairness, there's a democratic process, Gavin, we have to go through as a party, and I'd be loath now to announce who I feel will be the candidate live and air before we do that. And you would respect that as well, I'm sure.
I certainly will. We will leave it there. Alan Kelly, leader of the Labour Party, TD for Tipperary, thanks very much for joining us this lunchtime on The Record.
On The Record, on News Talk,
brought to you by PwC. A community of solvers coming together in unexpected ways. It all adds up to the new equation.